الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
Be feared and do not die except that you are Muslim, submitting to Allah wholeheartedly. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. O mankind, fear your guardian Lord who created you from a single soul, and from that soul he created its mate, and from them came many men and women. So fear Allah, from whom you demand your mutual rights, and respect the wombs that bore you, for Allah ever watches over you. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. O you believe, fear Allah and say a good word directed to the truth, that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may rectify your actions and forgive your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have indeed attained a great success. This is a short reminder, inshallah, before we go to the questions. A short reminder to the sisters in Islam, and that includes my mother, my wife, my daughters, my own sisters, immediate family members, and to those who are listening here from our sisters. الدين النصيحة الدين النصيحة الدين النصيحة قلنا لمن يا رسول الله قال لله ولرسوله قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. حديث أبي رقية تميم ابن أوس الداري رضي الله عنه, where the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, religion is advice, religion is advice, religion is advice. They asked, to whom, O messenger of Allah? He said, to Allah. The advice is first and foremost to Allah, to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be upon tawheed, to rectify one's heart, to always turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when they fall short, even when they sin and make mistakes, because we all make mistakes. كُلُّ إِبْنَ آدَمْ خَطَّاءُ وَخَيْرُ خَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Every one from the children of Adam makes mistakes, and the best of those who make mistakes are the tawwabun, the repentful ones. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us sincere in His call. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us sincere in our actions. Make our actions better than our speech. Make our actions in secret better than those actions those actions which are apparent to the people. And this religion is advised towards the Qur'an. To read the Qur'an, to ponder over the Qur'an, and to practice what the Qur'an entails. And this Quran, this deen is advised towards the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There isn't any other way better than the sunnah of Allah. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. You will never find a change in the sunnah of Allah, nor will you find any deviation or swaying from the sunnah of Allah. The sunnah of Allah is one, and that is the Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sunnatullah, التي قد خلت من قبل وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. So this is the sunnah of Allah, which we call all the people to. And as Imam Malik rahimullah said, السُنَّةُ كَسَفِنَةِ نُوح مَنْ رَكِبَهَ فَقَدْ نَجَى. The sunnah is like the ark of Noah, whoever boards it is saved. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of Ahlul Sunnah, the ones who are Ahlul Sunnah وَالْجَمَاعَ, they unite upon that sunnah, which the great scholars were upon, and which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called to, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. Upon you is to hold on to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after me. That sunnah of the Sahaba is the sunnah, when they unite, is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is one. That's why he said, عَضُّ عَلَيْهَا, bite onto it. And he didn't say, عَضُّ عَلَيْهِمَا, bite onto both of them. Because the sunnah of the Sahaba is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they unite upon a matter, it is considered to be deen. And this advice is to the leaders of the Muslims, as well as to the general folk, to all, to each and every one of us, from the Amat al Nas. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He mentioned about the duties of men, He also mentioned about the duties of women. As Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, in his nice little pamphlet called Nasihatun lil Mar'a al Muslima, he mentions, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Surah Rum, verse 21. Where Allah mentions the status of women and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised their status. That from His signs, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's signs, as Allah says, and that He created from yourselves your spouse, your wives, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that you may reside and that you may live with them. You may live with them. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, that you may reside and live with them, and He made between you love and mercy. Allahu Akbar. Rahmah and good companionship. This is a great sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made from men women as their spouse, as their partners. And this is a great sign. So Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, فَهَذَا مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ أَيَّ الْعَلَامَاتِ الدَّالَّ عَلَى قُدْرَتِهِ. This shows you the power of Allah and His greatness and His exaltness, or His greatness, and how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that He deserves that we call upon Him by His beautiful names and attributes. For He is the exalted subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the high and the honorable, who has created man and has created woman from the right rib of the man, and that they may live in kindness in this life, upon mercy and love and happiness. Wallahu azza wa jal kawwana al-mujtama' al-bashari min al-rijali wal-nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this society, made it consist of men and women. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى. O mankind, we have created you from male and female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. And we have made you nations and tribes that you may come to know one another. إِنَّا أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Indeed, the most pious in the sight of Allah, the most honorable, or the best of you in the sight of Allah, are the most pious. Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 13. فاجتماع الرجل والمرأة على العلاقة الشرعية من نعم الله. So this society that is made up together of men and women is actually from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows you that men cannot live without the women, and men and women cannot live without the men. Together they make a society, inshallah, a happy society, if they follow the legislation of Allah azza wa jal. Allah azza wa jal said, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and live with them in kindness. And the next verse, وَسَرِّحُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, or leave them in kindness. So in both situations, whether it's marriage or divorce, there should be kindness from both parties, from the husband, if he's still with his wife, living with her in kindness, or after they have divorced, if a situation arises where it is a must, or it happens, and either party is not patient or it occurs, then likewise it should be in kindness. And how many problems can be solved if many people followed this verse? How much money will be saved, and how many problems will be solved because if the people were able to stick to this verse? عَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ أَوْ سَرِّحُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Live with them in kindness or leave them in kindness. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 229, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَصْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Similar verse, that you stay with them upon righteousness, or you leave them upon ihsan, upon righteousness. There should be no harming of one party over the other. They should live with them in kindness. As Shaykh Hafidhullah, Shaykh Salih Fawzan mentions, فَعَلَاقَةُ الرَّجُلِ بالمرأة علاقة وطيطة يجب أن تكون هذه العلاقة مبنية على ما شرعه الله. So this relationship between the man and the woman should be upon the legislation of Allah. If they're not married, they're not allowed to be on their own together, because that will lead to that which is haram. Or it could lead to that which is forbidden. And if they are together as husband and wife, if they are together as mother and son or father and daughter, yani together meaning that they are living with the yani with other members of their family, whether male or female, then that living should be based upon the legislation of Allah. If the person wants happiness in this life and in the hereafter. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the best mut'a or the best happiness that a man can have is having a righteous wife. So being righteous as a wife, being righteous as a daughter, being righteous as a mother, being righteous as a sister, this is what is required from the Muslim lady, from the Muslim sister. Because at the end of the day, what is it that you seek? Do you seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah mentioned, minkum man yuridu dunya wa minkum man yuridu al-akhirah. There are amongst people who seek the dunya, and there are amongst people who seek the akhirah. So what is it that you are seeking? And what is this life but playing amusement? وَمَا حَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ وَلَا الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. What is this life but playing amusement? And the abode of the hereafter is better for those who ponder. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you reflect? So the hereafter is better for the pious. Don't we reflect? Don't we ponder? This life is going fast, ya amatullah. O sister in Islam, this life is going very fast. Like a blink of an eye. Before you know it, you reach 40, you reach 50. Before you know it, you're at your deathbed. How many of us who have reached 40 remember our youth? And remember what we did it when we were 20. When you're 20, when you're 25, you think you're going to live forever. But subhanallah, how soon does old age creep upon you? How soon does it creep upon us that we turn back to the awwalil umr, as Allah mentioned, to the old age? And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would seek refuge from having difficulty in old age, and that is al-haram, having difficulty, not being able to do things. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also seek refuge from not having the ability to do things, and from that is being weak and being sick and being old. So each and every one of us will reach that. And some of us may not, based upon the wisdom of Allah, we may not even reach that old age. But look, Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed the woman and has raised her status. When Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned about the duties of the men, He mentioned the duties of the women. When He mentioned that the reward of the men, He mentioned the reward of the women. Allah mentioned, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. How great this verse is. This is enough for those women who consider themselves to be feminists and consider themselves to seek women power and seek women rights. If they were to read the Quran and read the likes of these verses, where Allah Azza wa Jalla shows the equal nature of the men and women, and the great status that Allah has given the women, that when He mentioned them in reward, and when Allah mentioned them regarding their duties, He mentioned them alongside the men. The believing, the Muslim male and female, the believing male and female, the believing male who is qanit, who is continuous in his worship, and the believing woman who is qanita, continuous upon her worship, and the truthful males and the truthful females, and the patient males and the patient females, and the humble males and the humble females, and the charitable males and the charitable females, and the fasting males and the fasting females, and the males who guard their chastity, and the females who guard their chastity, and the males who remember Allah much, and the females who remember Allah much. أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward. How great this verse is, Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned also, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. Whoever does good deeds, whether they be male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, so long as they are believers, فَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, then He will give them a good life. وَلَنْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And we will reward them with reward better than what they used to do. يعني far greater as a reward of what they used to do. Surah An-Nahl, verse 97. Showing you the great status of the women, that they have also been addressed in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned a whole surah for the women, Surah An-Nisa, where He mentioned the rights of the women, the rights of inheritance, which wasn't given to them in the times of Jahiliyyah, where daughters, if they were born, they would be buried alive. But Allah Azza wa Jalla forbade this act, this evil act of killing women and harming women, and rather raise their status. That the woman is not there just to be sold. The woman is not there just to be used as a commodity to sell anything, whatever that thing is, expensive or cheap. The woman is there as a jewel, as a pearl, as a great status, building the future ummah, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that ummah of Islam, the great society, starting from the household, starting from the woman. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ. Stay in your houses. The best place for the woman is the house. And the feminist women will try to criticize Islam and say this is imprisoning women. No, it is not imprisoning women. Rather, this is the best place. Why? Because they are bringing up the future society, the future Muslims, the future society, the building blocks that will bring about khair for the society, the children. So the woman who is responsible is the woman that no doubt is a cultivator, an educator. She educates herself first and foremost, and then she educates her children and her family members. She learns. Just like Aisha radiallahu anha, she learnt the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. She memorized much of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was considered to be a great alima, where she will be consulted and asked with regards to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal regarding certain matters. Guarding the chastity, guarding the gaze, wearing the hijab, not of the tight clothes, see-through clothes, or the hijab that is colored, yani dazzled with dazzling colors, and hijab that is embroidered, na'am, to the extent that it is become so dazzling and allures the opposite sex. No, the hijab of al-mar'at al-muslima al-saliha is where Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنْ, that they should not display their adornment, their zina. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, لَا يُظْهِرْنَ الزِّينَ سَوَاءَ الزِّينَ الْخِلْقِيَّةِ وَهِيَ زِينَةُ الْجِسْمِ مِنَ الْوَجْهِ وَالْكَفَّيْنِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ أَوْ زِينَةَ الْمُصْطَنَعَةِ أَوْ الْمَخْلُوبَ أَوْ الْمَخْلُوبَةَ الْمَجْلُوبَةَ sorry, كَالْحُلِي وَالْخِطَابُ وَالْكُحُلُ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. So zina is not just the clothes, but zina of the body as well, such that the woman does not display that which is not allowed to be displayed. And there's difference of opinion regarding the face, is it to be covered or not? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but then at least with the other position that says it's not wajib, then at least it is mustahab, at least it is, they say it is preferable. It is better. And even those scholars that mention it is mustahab, they themselves, you'll find them encouraging their families to cover and not displaying their ornaments. Not to be harmed, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, so that they are not harmed. So the woman, the believing woman is a woman who draws her hijab over her. وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُورِهِنَّ, as Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, that they draw their veils to cover their adornments. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 59, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِي قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ. That say, Messenger, O Prophet, say to your wives and the daughters and the believing women that they draw near to themselves their jalabib, yani, which is the plural of jilbab, their hijab. And hijab is not just the clothing, oh sister in Islam. Hijab also is modesty. Is to be modest, not to be loud, not to be like the disbelieving women. Sometimes you see amongst them, they flirt and they are not modest with regards to their dress, with regards their interactions with men and so on. So jilbab and hijab is not just the covering. It is rather modesty and shyness. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالْحَيَاء كُلُّهُ خَيْرٌ. And modesty or shyness, all of it is good. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَاب. And when you seek any mata' from them, any provision or of that sort, then ask them from behind the hijab. Again, showing you the seriousness of the hijab, the status. The believing women, when they went out, when the verses of hijab were being revealed, they went out covering themselves. And they would be modest and shy in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, in front of the people. Except to those of their maharim, those members, where they are allowed to reveal their zina, if you like, that which is apparent from the zina, such as the faces and the hands and up to the elbows or even amongst their family members, they're modest, but they can reveal that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed to reveal to those maharim amongst them, like her brothers and her father and her son and na'am. So they are the maharim that is allowed. But in general, the believing woman is a shy woman, is a modest woman, is a woman that loves for her sister what she loves for herself. As in the hadith of Anas bin Malik in Bukhari and Muslim, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل in hadith Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari, the hadith لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. He doesn't truly believe until he loves for his brother what he loves himself. So the sister who loves for her sister what she loves for herself, this is a trait of iman, wanting khair and guidance for your sisters, not to be jealous over each other. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tahasadu wa la tabaghadu." Don't have jealousy and don't have hatred amongst each other. SubhanAllah, to the extent the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the man should not sell over the sale of another man. Yani, to that extent, that you must bring about justice in society amongst yourselves, amongst the sisters, amongst themselves, and the men amongst themselves. Yani, that they bring justice. They are truthful. They don't deceive. They don't cheat. Rather, they bring about a society that is built upon advice and bring it about good in all its sense. And bir, al-ihsan. The woman who is a believing woman is a woman that cares for her family members. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعُ وَكُلُّ رَاعِ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. All of you are shepherds. And every shepherd has a duty to their flock, being careful of those members that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on your neck يوم القيامة. First and foremost, your parents. How are you with your mother, ya amat Allah? And your father. And the hadith of Abi Huraira, regards who has more right to be your companion. And the Prophet said, your mother, your mother, your mother. And then he mentioned the father. And the Prophet also was asked by Abu Hurairah, hadith which is also in Bukhari, that what is the most beloved action towards Allah? He said, pray in its time. He said, what next? He said, bir al-walidain, being righteous to your parents. So the believing sister who is truthful to Allah and sincere and loves the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she's righteous towards her parents. She's not disobedient. She helps them. She strives to make them happy. As the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he heard about someone who made their parents unhappy, he said, go back to them and make them smile just as you have made them cry. So likewise, there's a great advice from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the believing woman, the sister in Islam, who is truthful to a covenant with Allah, is one who brings about khair to her parents. And likewise, She is a believing wife who loves to please her husband. And she's a believing mother. She loves to please her children in that which is halal, in that which is all good, to bring about that society, which is a blessed society. And there are many advices that we already gave some advice the other night for believing women. 30 different advice, yani from the Quran and Sunnah, taken from different sources. And today, really, we want to just to summarize this book by Sheikh Saleh Fawzan with regards this advice. And we will not actually read everything from this little pamphlet, but rather just some short points which are very important. One of the points he says for the believing women is not to change the creation of Allah, because Shaitan is from his concern is to change the creation of Allah. وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلْيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ Surah An-Nisa, verse 119, that we will all command them to so that they come to change the creation of Allah. وَقَدْ جَاءَ تَفْسِيرُ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ الْمُرَادُ بِهِ النَّمْسُ وَالْوَشْمُ So from the tafsir of this is to pluck the eyebrows, and also to make space between the teeth. This is what they used to do in the olden days, for the women to beautify themselves. They used to make spaces between their teeth. And also, from that which is prohibited, is to lengthen the hair with false hair. Somebody asked the other day about false nails. Again, anything that you hear of that is called false, is false. Don't use it. And we have some sisters also, they wear high heels, especially just before they get married, so that the groom-to-be sees them as taller than what they actually are. These high heels, as the scholars have mentioned, is from the traits of the disbelieving women. It is not from the traits of the believing women. And whoever resembles a people is of them. مَن تَشَبَّهَ مَا بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ And this actually is a serious hadith, that if you be similar to a people, eventually it won't just be the clothes that you'll be familiar with them, also in the akhlaq. So having good manners is the manners of the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. So not plucking the eyebrows. And this is something which is common amongst women, that they would pluck their eyebrows to beautify themselves. Until, subhanAllah, they have no more eyebrows left and they have to use pencil in order to fill up the gaps. And this is something, again, which is changing the creation of Allah and following the ways of shaitan. But rather, as in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when the lady she asked, yani, I've read the book of Allah from cover to cover, I didn't find any prohibition for this. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, it's in there. فَلِيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبُهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبُهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ And he read that verse, let the one beware that go against the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jalla, lest a fitna will befall them or a grievous punishment. Because they went against the commandment of Allah, and they went against the commandment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam already forbade this act of plucking the hairs from the eyebrows, and actually he cursed the women who do that. He cursed the women, and what does curse mean? It means the mercy of Allah is not reaching that individual, or Allah will withhold His mercy. Withholding His mercy, subhanAllah, that means when you're in trouble, and when you're sick, and when you're in need of Allah Azza wa Jal, then these are times where Allah Azza wa Jal will not be merciful to you, because you yourself have turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming under that curse. May Allah protect us and forgive us, and make us far away from the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because when Allah Azza wa Jal cursed Shaytan, Iblis, then he said, go out of my mercy. Ukhruj min rahmati. Go out of my mercy. Likewise, the believing woman, if any calamity occurs, if someone dies in the family, or any, Allah forbid, that the women start hitting themselves, and it's called niyaha. Allah cursed those, or the Messenger doesn't curse those women who do that. And that is the women who rip out their pockets and they slap their cheeks and they scream because of a calamity. Again, that is a trait, not of the believing women, but rather the trait of the pagans and the people of ignorance. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave glad tidings for the patient ones. He said, "Ubashshir al-sabirin, al-ladina ida asabatum musibatun qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, ulaika alayhim salawatum min rabbihim wa rahmah, wa ulaika humul muhtadun." And give glad tidings to the patient ones. Those who, when a calamity befalls them, they say, "To Allah we belong and to Him we return." They are the ones who the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal will be over them. Allah Azza wa Jal will honor them, and the mercy of Allah will be on them, and they are the guided ones. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the pious believing men and believing women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And first and foremost for the believing women is to be upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to call to the sunnah, and to keep away from bid'ah, innovations, and to warn against innovations, but to be kind and gentle and merciful, to help each other for Allah's sake. That the asl is gentleness. The Prophet said to Aisha radiallahu anha, "Ma kana rifqu fi shay'in lazana, wa ma yunza'u rifqu min shay'in lashana." Whenever gentleness is mixed with something, it beautifies it. And whenever it is removed from something, it disfigures it. So having mercy with each other, mercy with your family members, mercy with your sisters in Islam, guides for them. Don't make groups and parties and against each other, but rather wish good for the other, because we're all trying to get to paradise and no one's guaranteed it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as we are merciful to others and kind to others and gentle to others, that He is kind and merciful to us. Because the Rasul said, "Kama tudin tudan," as you treat others, you will be treated. And this is a narration mentioned, Na'am, and Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned it, saying that as you treat others, you will be treated. If you are by Allah, so if you are righteous, Allah will treat you likewise with kindness and so on. Guarding the prayers, may Allah forgive each and every one of us if we miss any of the salah. But we must have remorse in our hearts. We must feel that we have to rectify ourselves in order to better ourselves. The best dhikr is the reading the Quran and the prayer, going back to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So advising one another, especially in your household, be the one to wake up your family and get their reward, inshallah. مَنْ دَلَّ النَّاسَ عَلَى خَيْرٍ كَانَ لَهُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ مَنْ تَبِعَهُ لَا يَنْقُصُ مِنْ أُجُورِهِمْ شَيْئًا. Calling them to good, you will have all the reward of those that follow you without that their reward diminishing. Calling them to good. And from that is a salah. Be the one to have the alarm clock at night, putting it early, even if you're a daughter, waking up your father, waking up your mother, waking up your sisters. Be a righteous sister, righteous slave of Allah Azza wa Jal. Who is it that you seek? Minkum man yuridu dunya wa minkum man yuridu al-akhirah. What is this life? Each and every one of us are going to be accountable to Allah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, where Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet took hold of my shoulder and said, "Kun fi dunya ka anaka ghariba wa abir as-sabil." Be in this life as if you are a stranger or a traveler. That's all we have to be, a stranger or a traveler. You become too settled, you end up forgetting about the akhirah. You become too settled away from the dhikr of Allah, you forget the akhirah. You become too settled away from pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the main goal, to be upon Tawheed and Sunnah, then you will end up falling into sins, and you end up having black spots on your heart, being put there for every sin that you commit, until your heart becomes engulfed and blackened and cannot recognize guidance, and then you go astray and astray and astray, and you find it hard to come back. How many people have gone astray? They used to be Salafi today, they used to be Salafi yesterday, and today they are something else. Rely upon Allah. If you have any problems, go back to the Quran. Go back to Allah Azza wa Jal. There are solutions there for you. In all affairs, nothing is left out. The Rasul ﷺ even told us about the bird flying in the sky. Told us about it, the bird flapping its wings in the sky. Nothing is left out of this deen. Anything that will help you get to Jannah, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned it. Anything that will get you to keep you away from the hellfire, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned it. So have focus in your life, in front of your eyes, is focused to be upon this Sirat al-Mustaqim. In front of your eyes, as Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, this is the believing servant who loves Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the believing servant who is successful and guided. In front of their eyes is taqwa. وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. Those who are guided will give them increase in guidance. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِي الآية أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. نعم. The verse where Allah Azza wa Jalla said about those who strive in our cause, we will increase them in guidance. على كل Allah Azza wa Jalla will increase you in guidance and piety if you turn to Him. As Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned, اتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and make this advice for us, not against us on Yawm al-Qiyamah.
Sisters, barakallahu fikum, there is space outside for you. Upstairs, nah, so yes, outside. Upstairs is open. So, and also, sister, try to avoid sitting next to the door. So there's space upstairs. Likewise, next to the curtain. Barakallahu fikum.
And the verse is, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَ لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive in our cause, we will guide them to our good deeds. So striving in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, protect our mothers and our wives and our sisters and our daughters. If you have two daughters or three daughters and you bring them up properly, then Allah Azza wa Jal, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there will be a screen from the hellfire for you. Look at the status of women that is mentioned in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing you the importance of bringing up children, especially daughters, and having and educating them, aiding them. No. The sister asks, "I want to wear niqab so badly, but my parents don't agree with it because of my age, etc. What should I do? I take it as a fard act of ibadah." Of course, there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Some of them say that the niqab is to cover the face is wajib, and there are others that say that it is preferable. Now, if it is a situation where your parents are going to throw you out the house or going to cause more harm for you than good, then be patient, sister, until Allah Azza wa Jal aids you in that which you love, to practice that which you love. Because at the end of the day, the greatest harm is that they will throw you out the house until you can convince them that what I'm doing is not something bad. And subhanAllah, this is something, wallahi, with patience and with dua, Allah Azza wa Jal would rectify your situation. With patience and dua and sincerity. Some of us, we want change to be overnight. Our parents, many of them, they have been upon a particular way for so many years and you want to change them overnight. We have to have sabr. We have to have good hikmah, wisdom with them. And Shaykh Ubaid Hafidullah mentioned about that. He mentioned that the sister who wants to get married, for example, and the father refuses, even this particular situation, she should be patient. Choose someone that the father agrees with, that is also Sunni, that is also upon the right path. Naam. So you have to be patient with them, advising them, bringing someone to talk to them, allowing them to have good friends, bringing good people to your house, that would also encourage them to be more pious. Because wallahi, yani many, many families are ignorant, they don't know any better. And if they truly knew the blessing of Islam and the blessing of the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, they would follow. But many of parents regarding the niqab, I think it's just a matter of being afraid and a matter of not understanding the situation. So be patient, inshallah, until one day you are able to practice that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Another question here. Our sisterhood is very weak. Could you advise on how to strengthen it? Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned Surah Al-Hujurat. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً that the believers are brothers to each other, and the sisters as well. The believing women are sisters to each other. فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. So rectify between them. So the asl is You should have love and love for Allah's sake. Ya rahmakallah. So if a sister is upon the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we have to love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. We should not boycott her, leave her. We should strive to bring her close, to build that strength of sisterhood. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned hadith of Abdullah ibn Salam, أَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ. And mashallah, sisters who are good cooks, who can cook, invite each other. Wallahi, يعني, this is something sad we see in society, that we don't find the closeness amongst the communities. You know, just because they are from a different country or from a different race, this is not from Islam. Islam, there are no barriers of nationalities, there's no barriers of color, of language. The barrier is Iman and Kufr. This is the barrier. It's between faith and disbelief. But believe in sisters, strengthening the ties between each other is something which is important. And wallahi, sister, if you strive for another sister that is in need, or that is in need of having good companionship, then by Allah, Allah will aid you. Don't be selfish. Don't be يعني, miserly. And don't be يعني, tight-fisted. And don't be harsh and stern. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيدَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla said to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, if you are harsh and stern, the people will run away from you. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, with regards يعني, people who were misguided, and you were misguided as well. كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. It was Allah who, from His minnah, from His blessing, He's the one who guided you. So why should you look down on others? You should try to encourage them to come into the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal wholeheartedly. Na'am, by aiding them and aiding sisterhood amongst yourselves. Because who is it that you seek? Who is it that you seek? Even when you are being kind to a sister, you know, you are actually seeking Allah. And with that intention, inshallah, you bring about good amongst your sisters. Another question here. Could you inform us of ways in which we increase our iman? Wallahi, this question is for me. How to increase my iman? The scholars, they mention about increasing iman is by reading the Quran. Going back to the Quran, reading it, pondering it. This is a way of reading, of increasing your iman. Being with righteous. Wallahi ya akhawat. I tell you now, and the brothers that are listening here, by Allah, sitting with the righteous increases your iman. And who are the best of the righteous? The ulama. So when you sit with the likes of the ulama and you hear the ulama regularly, and you hear the durus of the ulama regularly, this will increase your iman. Also, being with the best. Allah says, kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Be with the truthful ones. Who are they? First and foremost, the ulama. They are the best people of this ummah. So being with the righteous. If you hear anyone insulting the ulama, ma'as salama, because they're the ones who don't want to increase their iman upon that way of which is legislated. The ones that want to increase the iman truly are the ones that love the ulama, because when they listen to them, they hear tawheed and sunnah. When they listen to them, they are reminded of the akhirah. The Prophet ﷺ himself, sahaba would come to him and say, when we are with you, it's as if we can see Jannah. As if we can see Jannah, as if we can see the hellfire. Yani, as if we remember the akhirah. When we remember their families, it's as if we forget. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Sa'a wa sa'a. A time for this and a time for that. A time to be with your family and time to be upon the dhikr of Allah. And if you were yani, in the same situation that you are with me, remembering the akhirah, as you were with your families, yani, not just always in the dhikr of Allah without actually paying attention to the affairs of also the dunya, in the sense that yani, you need to earn a living and you need to attend to your children and the family members and so on. If you're in that situation in your household, yani, then the angels with they would shake your hands. So a time for this and a time for that. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the hadith of Handala radiallahu anhu. So increasing iman is by way of going back to the Quran, learning about the akhirah, learning about Jannah, learning about Nar, and being with the righteous. and being patient and asking Allah for guidance. As Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi mentioned just before we came, he said, ask Allah this dua always. He said, ask Allah this dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Our Lord, don't make our hearts stray after deviation. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. And give us from yourself mercy. You are indeed al-Wahhab, the one who gives, the one who blesses. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our iman. And with righteous actions, when you do a good deed, it increases your iman. When you pray, you go to the masajid, and for the sisters, when they get together, reminding each other of the akhirah increases their iman. The questioner here is asking, does the hadith about the camel humps apply if a sister wears her hair in a ponytail, a tail, or a high bun? I don't know about the ponytail or what a high bun looks like. All I know is the scholars mention about the women who have the hadith in Sahih Muslim from the signs of the hour is the women will have hair which is like camel's humps. They put it on top of their head. That is what is not allowed. And you see that with the disbelieving women, they wear hair on top of their head like yani high up on their head. They roll it up on their head, on top of their head, until it looks like a camel's hump. So that is what is forbidden. As for ponytail, I don't know. As for high bun, I don't know what that means. But if it resembles a camel's hump, then we keep away from that. And if you are doubtful, then keep away from the doubtful matters. But ponytail at the back of your head is not on top of your head. From what I know about a ponytail, is not on top of your head. It is on the back of it. But some women, yes, they do wear kind of a ponytail on top of their head. Yani it's like a camel's hump. So keep away from the ponytail on top of their head. And if it has to be on the back, then as far as I know, that is not what is mentioned in the hadith. Is it a must that one calls himself or herself a Salafi? It is a question that you can't deny. If somebody says, are you Salafi? You can't say no, because it means referring back to the best people, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And then Alhamdulillah, Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in volume 4, page 149 of Majmu' Fatawa, he said, لَا عَيْبْ لِمَنْ أَظْهَرَ مَنْ هَبَ السَّلَفْ وَعْتَزَّ إِلَيْهِ بَلْ يَجِبُ قَبُولُ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُ. There's no harm upon the one who, there's no shame, there's no problem for the one who ascribes to the methodology of the Salaf. Rather, it is obligatory to accept that from him. So ascribing to it, and the ya here is only ya an-nisbah, means I ascribe to the best people ever to be, the Sahaba. Just like you say I am Maghrabi or Hindi or Britani, you know, for the men, and the women Maghrabiya and Hindiya and so on. Yani, this is only inscription ascribing to a country, but in this case ascribing to the best people, the Sahaba radhiallahu anhum. And many of the scholars, they used to use it. Al-Dhahabi mentioned in Sir Alam al-Nubala, when he mentioned Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he said Abdullah ibn Mubarak al-Salafi. And Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah in Al-Aqid al-Wasitiyya, he said those who follow the Quran and Sunnah upon the way of the Salaf, then they are Salafi. So it is a question you can't reject. And Shaykh Rabi Hafidullah said, why is it always we ask people, why is it these questions are always asked? Can you call yourself Salafi? Nobody asks, can you call yourself Ash'ari? Can you call yourself Sufi? Can you call yourself Mu'tazili? Can you call yourself Tablighi? Nobody asks those questions. Why? Why is there always a problem is, can you call yourself Salafi? They have no problem. Say, are you Tablighi? Say, yeah, I'm Tablighi. Are you Ash'ari? Yeah, I'm Ash'ari. Are you Ikhwani? Yes, I'm Ikhwani. But Salafi, you have a problem. Why you have a problem, ya akhi? When it is the best people, the Sahaba of Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. So, it is something which is mentioned by the scholars, past and present, and it's not a problem. There's no stigma, he says, the questioner says, the stigma attached to being called Salafi, such as extreme. No. The Salafi is the one who's upon the middle course. He's the one, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَبَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. They are the ones, they are not extravagant nor they're miserly, but they are in between, justly balanced. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah described the Sahaba, the first of the Salaf, to be the most balanced people. How is there a stigma attached to it to be an extreme? No. The extreme are the ones who are not Salafi. They are the ones of ghulu, the ones of extremism. But you have to be careful. Not everybody says who I'm Salafi is Salafi. There are those who claim to be Salafi, they're not Salafi. And the questioner asks, always refuting. That's not true. That's a lie. Yani if somebody claims that against the Salafis, that they're always refuting, that's a lie. Alhamdulillah, the ulama who followed the way of the manhaj of the Salaf al-Salih, you find them teaching. I'll give you one example. Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri, in the past 10 years, he taught Aqid al-Wasitiyya, he taught Usul al-Thalatha, Qawaid al-Arba'a, he taught Kitab al-Tawheed twice, he taught other books of Sheikh Salim Taymiyyah rahimahullah, other books of Muhammad Wahab rahimahullah. From them is Al-Arkan wa Wajibat al-Salah, Shurut wa Arkan wa Wajibat al-Salah, and other than that, from the books of the Salaf, from the great scholars like Imam Ahmad Usul al-Sunnah, Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirwani's Qirwaniyya, and Marwazi's Sunnah, and Al-Muzani's Sharh al-Sunnah, they teach. It's not just refuting. Rudud, refuting the people of innovation and the errors, this is something which is from the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That the believers, male and female, they are friends and protectors of each other. They enjoin the good and forbid the evil. And from forbidding the evil is refuting the shirk and the mushrikeen, and refuting the bid'ah and the mubtadi'een, refuting sins. Because you are friends and protectors of each other. You want to protect the deen from all innovations and from anything that will harm it. So, being Salafi is not extreme. Being Salafi is the balanced way. If a sister or a brother is extreme in a particular matter, then look at that matter, because extremism in Islam is not allowed. Ghulu. The Prophet warned against that. He said, إِيَّاكُمُ الْغُلُو. He said that to Ibn Abbas when he asked him to pick up the stones for throwing the stones at the Jamarat. And just because it was slightly bigger than what it should be, a chickpea size, he said to him, إِيَّاكُمُ الْغُلُو. So therefore, ghulu, extremism is not allowed. If that's not allowed in the size of the stone that you use to throw the Jamarat, how about in issues of aqidah? إِيَّاكُمُ الْغُلُو. Rather, the extreme ones are those who have strayed from the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah. The extreme ones are those who have strayed from the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The extreme ones are those who insult the ulama. The extreme ones are those who revile the scholars. The extreme ones are those who don't guard their duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salafiyyah is the balanced nation. The way of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. This is the balanced nation. Allah Azza wa Jal has praised, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ. You are the best people arising for mankind. The first thing is, they enjoin the good and they forbid the evil. Tawheed and Sunnah. And they forbid the evil, shirk and bid'ah and the rest of the forbiddens. So the questioner ended it by saying, so I call myself Sunni. وَأَيْشْ وَأَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. Is this okay? They are all the same. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is synonymous with Salafiyyah. Is synonymous with Ahl Hadith. If the people are truly upon that path. So don't shy away from being upon this blessed path, because it is a path that is revived by the scholars past and present. Alhamdulillah, the scholars didn't have a problem with that. The Rasulullah himself used the word Salaf. He said to Fatima, his daughter, radiallahu anha, he said, "Ni'ma salaf ana laki." I'm a blessed salaf to you. So why should you shy away from being Salafi? And Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah has a whole tape called "Ana Salafi." I'm Salafi. So no problem, inshallah. The question is, are you on it? And if you're not on it, at least strive. And don't be like those who say, "I'm not like them, so I can't. I'm not Salafi." No, you're Salafi in the sense that you are striving to be like the best people. Can you advise on our sisters, plus, what's that? Hat one into fashion, what's that? And advise those who wear the turban or hijab. What's this say here? Hat?
That's a hat.
Oh, that one into fashion. Ah, can you advise sisters who are into fashion. Yeah, if it is clothing, that is clothing which is see-through and tight, like they have these modern abayas nowadays that reveal the shape of the body. And of course, this is not allowed. So fashion, which is which reveals the adornments and reveals the shape of the body and so on, this is not allowed. And sisters are encouraged by each other. You encourage each other to remind each other of Allah Azza wa Jal, na'am, of that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because every time a woman goes out into the streets, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shaitan beautifies her. But if you're also aiding shaitan to beautify yourself before shaitan beautifies you, na'am, then you're going to cause more harm than good. So beautifying for your husband, beautifying is allowed. But in the streets for a non-mahram, a strange man, you beautify yourself for him, then this is something which is not allowed. Such that you wear tight clothes and revealing clothes. This is not from al-Islam. Alhamdulillah, we are not shy to say it, and we are not hiding away to speak the truth. Alhamdulillah, we should be happy who we are, and we should keep our identity. Because Allah has made pleasing for us Islam as our religion. Allah Azza wa Jal said, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. نعم. In the other verse, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. And Allah is pleased for you, Islam, as your religion. Why are we not pleased? Allah is pleased for us to be upon the sunnah. Alhamdulillah. Why are we not pleased? Allah is pleased for us to keep our identity. For the males, mashallah, tabarakallah, to wear libasu taqwa. Wa libasu taqwa dalika khair. It's not just for the women, for the men as well. Libasu taqwa. So Allah is pleased for us to wear libasu taqwa. Clothes that are not revealing, clothes that are not tight, revealing our bodies and our own adornments. Naam. Alhamdulillah. We're keeping our identity. And wallahi, we need to do it. Because if you don't do it, then slowly, slowly, you will lose your identity. Your children will see you, the way you dress, the way you look, and they will get worse as well. And their children, and their children, their children, until the melting pot occurs, where the people don't know. Only after a while they say, oh, what happened to my son? What happened to my daughter? As soon as the daughter goes to the end of the road, she takes off the hijab to go to school because she's shy as well. Because you as a mother, as an older sister, were not strong. So let's be strong. And let's be firm upon this deen. وَاتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold all together to the rope of Allah and do not split. Rope of Allah is the Quran. And some of the scholars mentioned the Al-Islam, which includes the Sunnah. So holding on to the Quran and Sunnah, being firm upon the truth, striving to keep our identity. Eh wallah, we're not shy. And we don't look back. And there is no looking back away from this deen. The deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is the haqq. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam. This is what is truth. وَمَنْ يُبْتَغِي غَيْرَ إِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. And whoever chooses a way other than Islam as a religion, it will never be accepted from him. So, oh sister in Islam, wallahi, it's not easy. This path is not easy. It's not a bed of roses. And it's not easy for you or for me. But this is the path of salvation, walillah alhamd. We don't harm anyone. We don't go around harming non-Muslims. We invite them to Islam, alhamdulillah. We want good for them. We want good for our neighbors, Muslims and non-Muslims. If the non-Muslims knew the beauty of Islam, they would come into it in multitudes. But we ourselves must be role models. Yes, hold on to your hijab, but show good manners. If you have to queue up, queue up. If you have to say please, say please. Say thank you. No problem. If this is what is good manners in this country, say it. No problem. Doesn't harm us. This is good. And show kindness to the Muslims as well as non-Muslims. Invite them with your actions before your speech. So hold on to this deen. And don't be shy of who you are. You have strength. And that strength is al-Iman. Walillah alhamd. The questioner asks, what can you do if you keep returning to a sin, continuously doing it? What can I do? Allah Azza wa Jal said in Surah Surah Az-Zumar. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, لا تقنط قل يا عباد الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Oh my servants who have wronged themselves, don't lose hope from the mercy of Allah. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Allah forgives all sins, He is all forgiving, most merciful. So turning back to Allah Azza wa Jalla in all affairs, don't lose hope from the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all sins. Allah's mercy is so vast. Allah's mercy, Allah's more merciful to His servant, to His worshippers, than a woman who loses her child or who finds a child in a battle, and she suckles that child because that child is hungry, and the child is crying. Allah's more merciful to you, ya Amatullah, than that woman showing mercy to her to that child, in suckling that child. Allah is more merciful to that than that individual. Allah loves mercy, but that loves that you turn to Him. But that tawbah should be a sincere tawbah. Allah said, "Watubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha," and turn to repent to Allah with a sincere repentance. And that tawbah should be continuous inaba. Allah says, "Wa anibu ila Rabbikum wa aslimu lah min qabli an yatiyakum al-'adabu thumma la tunsarun." And repent to Allah continuously. We need to call upon, seek forgiveness from Allah 100 times a day. And we need to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal and ask Allah to keep us away from any sin. And if it's a continuous sin, ask Allah to protect you away from that sin. Close all the doors that will lead you to that sin. Close all the doors. That if shaitan is coming from that door, close it. And ask Allah to aid you in that. Be with the righteous. And read the Quran. Quran, you'll see the authority of Allah, and you'll see how beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and how He loves khair for the people, how He loves good for you and me. And we should be shy, not look at how small the sin is, but look how great the one that you are sinning towards. وَإِذَا خَلَوْتَ بِرِيبَةٍ فِي ظَلْمَةٍ وَالنَّفْسُ تَدْعُو إِلَى طُغْيَانِ فَاسْتَحِي مِن نَظْرِ إِلَهِ وَقُلْ لَهَا إِنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الظَّلَامَ يَرَانِي. And when you are alone in the dark, when no one's looking, and your soul is inclined towards transgression, then have shyness and modesty from your Lord, for the one who created darkness is watching you. Allah is watching us all the time. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Your Lord is ever watchful. Ibn Abbas radhiyallahu anhu said, yasma' wa yara. Allah sees us and He hears us and He knows what we are saying. He knows what we are doing. He knows what we are thinking in our hearts and what we whisper in our hearts to ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all of that. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in Surah Luqman, يَا بُنَيَّ وَإِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُمْ إِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ فَتَكُمْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. Oh my son, even if it be an atom's weight of a deed, and it's inside a rock, or it's in the heavens, hidden, Allah will bring it out. No one is going to escape Allah, ya Amat Allah. We are all going to go back to Allah, and every secret will become known. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. You will have no strength, no aid, except that which you came to Allah with a pure heart. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. So how is your heart? How are your actions towards these sins, ya Amat Allah? Sins are destructive. Every time you sin, you move slowly further and further away from Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy. So try your best to seek forgiveness for these sins, and try your best to close that door that will lead you to that sin. Who is Shaykh Haytham Al-Haddad? As I have heard of him, and I know of those who listen to him. First of all, he's not a Shaykh. Haytham Haddad is an individual which we just heard about, yani through the internet and through the posters that are advertised of him. From what we have seen of in detail, is that he has no problem with signing a pledge with the Sufis. And we know the Sufis, from those who signed that pledge, are grave worshippers who call upon the dead and who read the Burda of Busayri. In it is clear shirk, claiming the Messenger knows the unseen and so on, unconditionally. So Haytham Haddad has no problem cooperating with these individuals. And we say that this is misguidance. And he was an individual also who signed a petition for the political group called Hizb al-Tahrir not to be banned in this country. So he is an individual who is misguided. May Allah guide him to the truth. And he's not someone that is to be studied under. And we call him back to the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ to recognize innovation as being evil, as being destructive. Just like the Rasulullah ﷺ warned against innovation before it occurred. Prophet ﷺ said, "Man amila amila laysa alayhi amruna fahu rad." Hadith Sahih Muslim, and the other hadith in Sahih Bukhari, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hada ma laysa minhu fahu rad." So the innovator and the action of the innovators are refuted and are rejected. So innovations are evil. Prophet ﷺ said, "Iyakum wa muhdathat, iyakum wa muhdathat al-umur." Be warned of the newly invented matters. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. For every newly invented matter is an innovation. وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every innovation is misguidance, and every misguidance leads to the fire. So the Prophet ﷺ warned against innovation, and the innovators, Aisha radiallahu anha, warned against the innovators of the Khawarij. When she heard somebody, not accepting wholeheartedly an aspect from the legislation of Allah, she said to her, "Aharuriya anti? Are you a haruriya?" Meaning, are you a kharijiya? It's like us saying nowadays, are you tablighi? Are you ikhwani? So innovations are evil. Keep away from them, and those who call to them, and those who cooperate with the people of innovation, keep away from them. Haytham Haddad is one of them. He cooperates with the people of India. So this shows you his methodology. May Allah guide him back to the truth. Naam, or guide him to the truth. To leave off these ways of innovation and mix in with the innovators for the greater good. Wallahi, the greater good is in calling to the sunnah and tamyiz, having a distinction between truth and falsehood. How do I improve my relationship with a difficult member of my family? Allah said, "Idfa billati ahsan, fa'idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawatun ka'annahu waliyun hamim." Push forward with one that is better. Push forward with one that is better. And the scholars, alhamdulillah, they clarified to be patient. From them, Shaykh Ubayd, Hafidullah, and Shaykh Rabi. How many times Shaykh Rabi talks about having mercy and gentleness and kindness with your brothers and your family members? SubhanAllah. So, with a family member, be patient. Try to bring them some, if you can't talk to them directly, bring them a tape to listen to or some books. Leave the books lying around in your house. Maybe perchance they will pick them up and listen to and read those books. You never know where the guidance comes and when it comes. Making dua for them and always being kind to them. It may be through your kindness you guide them to Islam or you guide them to being righteous. What is the ruling on university fees? The scholars have already spoken about this. We should not take university fees because they're based upon riba. And riba is haram. Allah yamhaqu Allahu riba yurbi sadaqat. Allah make riba make things worse for you regards riba. Riba will make your wealth decrease, and sadaqa Allah will make it increase. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, "Fa'dan biharbi min Allah wa Rasulih." Then prepare yourself, those who deal with riba, prepare yourself with a war between Allah and His Messenger. Can you face that war with Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of riba? And the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in hadith which is in Sunan Abi Dawud, "Idha tabayatum bil 'ina wa tamassaktum bi adnabil baqar wa radaytum bil zar' wa taraktum al jihad fi sabilillah, sallallahu alaykum dhullan lan yanzi'ahu 'ankum hatta tarji'u ila dinikum." So from those things that will be reason for your humiliation is 'ina, which is a form of usury, riba. Allah will permit your humiliation and He will not remove it until you return to your deen. So riba is evil, riba is harmful, and we keep away from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our wealth halal away from riba. And if someone has already got a university loan, then it is a loan on their neck. They have to pay it, even if it's towards the non-Muslims. Shaykh Ubayd Hafidullah said, even if it is a debt towards a non-Muslim, then they should keep away from that debt. Pay that debt. They should pay that debt. Because the rights of the Muslim and non-Muslims you have to give. Naam. What would you say to people who listen to Anwar al-Awlaki? This person is takfiri, khariji, methodology. He calls for the calls the Muslims disbelievers. Naam, the leaders indiscriminately calling them disbelievers. He calls to over foreign governments, Muslim governments, which is the way of the Khawarij, the Khuruj. He's a person of misguidance who speaks against the ulama. And he's a person, naam, who you should not listen to. Because they, as the Messenger ﷺ, warned against these people who are the way of the Khawarij, the way of people of Takfir. Prophet ﷺ said about the Khawarij, they are the dogs of the hellfire. This is how serious the matter is. And the Khawarij, they were reason to kill Sahaba رضي الله عنه. They fought the Sahaba from them, Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه. They killed him. So even if a person has tapes, and you think they are good tapes, maybe they have stories about the prophets, maybe they have stories about Sahaba, but what is his methodology? Who is he? As Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, look to whom he studied and where he studied. You can't just follow anyone that sprouts out. And majhul, majhul, the one who's ignorant is ignorant. So this is an individual who is only known for these evil things, yani for takfir. And even if he has some good, we don't call to that good. We don't mention that good. For this is not the way of al-muwazana, of mentioning good, and that this is the way of, this is the way of the Khwanis. They mention good and bad. No. In this individual here, we know that he's harmful for the Muslims. We mention exactly what harm that he is causing in order to warn the people away from his misguidance. So Anwar Awlaki is an individual who is misguided, and alhamdulillah, scholars have already spoken about him, have warned against him from those who spoke. From them, Sheikh Ubaid Hafidullah, and I think our brother Hassan Somali has a whole tape on him with questions and answers with Sheikh Ubaid. So keep away from the likes of the Takfiris. The Takfiris, they're one of the easiest groups to refute because they're ignorant. They don't know. They misquote, they cut and paste. They take verses out of context. And they don't know the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We read to you the other night, a couple of weeks back, Qawa'id al-Fiqhiyya, or the benefits of Qawa'id al-Fiqhiyya. And we read to you some principles. From those principles are principles you can use against the Takfiris, who cause more harm than good. So keep away from those individuals who are there just to rouse the people upon the way of takfir and the way of khuruj. And they themselves are empty vessels. And naam. Can you please advise the sisters that take pictures and post them online, i.e. for Facebook and Twitter? The hadith in Sahih Muslim, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُصَوِّرُونَ, that the most severest of people punished on the Day of Judgment will be the picture makers. So how does one, after reading this hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim, how does one feel easy to take a picture? I don't know how. Wallahi, يعني, أستغرب. Unless that picture is darura, a necessity for a passport or whatever. But other than that, it is not allowed. And then to put it online on top of that, يعني, for everyone to see, SubhanAllah, where's the shyness? Where's the shyness, the modesty the Muslim woman should be upon? This is not allowed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah protect us. Let us not fall prey to the fashion of the internet. Whenever something is thrown at us, we have to follow. No, if there's something good of the internet to be used, alhamdulillah. If there's something like this, then keep away from. Twitter, if you're going to use Twitter for da'wah, alhamdulillah, and it should be those who have knowledge, and those who are students of knowledge, that's beneficial, they can bring. Or if they're using it for business or whatever. But to keep away from pictures, there's no need to, you don't have to put a picture. And Facebook, subhanAllah, and you all heard that even Facebook, how many times it's been infiltrated by different people and by governments, infiltrated knowing your personal affairs. Why you want people to know your personal affairs? SubhanAllah. So one should be careful. If a person has to use Facebook for business, then maybe they have their fatwa for that. But they shouldn't put pictures on there of people. أشد الناس عذابا يوم القيامة المصورون. This hadith, if you put that in your heart, this hadith, or between in front of your eyes, then that is enough for us to be careful. And if you are in doubt, then keep away from the doubtful matters. Because the one who does not keep away from the doubtful matters eventually falls into the haram. And for me, it's not doubtful matter. It is a clear forbiddance, as some of the scholars have already mentioned, photos and that, clear forbiddance. So it should not be something that we joke with, or we make little videos, because everyone has a jawal now, mashallah, smartphone. And we think we're smart just because we can take pictures and we can take videos. Huh? Subhanallah, the smart one, wallahi, the smart one, is one who uses the smartphone smartly, intelligently, based upon the sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal. Away from videos of people, and also children, of pictures of people. Is this really a situation, a problem? Should we take, this question is asking, should we take knowledge from Mufti Menk? Who is Mufti Menk? And I know some brothers have mentioned about him. As far as what I know, what I've seen, he seems to be an individual calling to the Deobandi way. Not clarifying the innovations, not clarifying the shirk, the severity of shirk that is upon the Ummah. He's not a person who is Salafi. So why listen to anyone that comes along you listen to? Why? Listen to Salafi, alhamdulillah, who is upon the way of Quran, Sunnah, al-Fahm, al-Salaf, who is known from the scholars as being upon this clear path. But not anyone that comes along you listen to. Al-Majhul, Majhul. And Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, died 110 Hijriya. He said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ دِينَ فَانْظُرْ عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. This knowledge is deen, so look to whom you take as your deen. And not everybody who calls himself Mufti is a Mufti. And he as well, one brother said to me, he was in Medina, and he met him, and this Mr. Menk, he said to him, you know who I am? I am Mufti Menk. You see, he called himself Mufti. That Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, whoever calls himself Alim, then he's Jahil. Whoever calls himself Alim is Jahil. Don't go around saying, I'm Mufti. Man anta ya akhi hatta tufti. Imam Malik, rahimullah, said, I did not give fatwa until 70 of Ahl Medina gave me a tazkiyah to give fatwa. 70 of Ahl Medina. This one, he calls himself Mufti. Wallahi, we shy away from questions that we don't know, especially questions that we don't, because it's amana, in front of Allah, what are you going to say? You say something that is, Allah says, وَلَا تَكْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمِ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصْرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Don't go into that which you have no knowledge. The hearing, the sight, the heart, all of it is going to be questioned. So what was this? Anyone who comes on YouTube, we have to listen to. Be careful of the YouTube sheikhs. Except the ones who are from Ahl Sunnah. The ones who are Salafi, the ones who are known for their clarity. Not just anyone who comes on the internet, you know, he's sheikh. No. He's maybe milkshake, not sheikh, sheikh alim. And sheikh, even in age, some of them, you see young boy and he says, sheikh fulan. Mat hada? Sheikh fulan. Even in age, he's not, he doesn't read sheikh, even if you take it in the language. And in Qatar al-Nada, زَعَمَتْنِي شَيْخًا وَلَسْتُ بِشَيْخٍ إِنَّمَا شَيْخُ مَنْ يَدُّبُّ دَبِيبًا. The real sheikh is one who wobbles when he walks. That's in age. And the alim is a sheikh by way of knowledge. How can I be more productive with my time? Allahu Akbar. The Prophet said, نِعْمَتَان مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسَ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاخِ. Two things people waste much: good health and free time. Allah swears by time, wal-asr, to show you the importance of time. We are all in need of protecting what's left of our time. Because your time, as Ibn al-Qayyim says, is your time in ibadah. That's the real time that you will benefit from. Any other time is not really yours. That's just left behind. That's for what you have wasted. So there's not much time, wallah. Sometimes 24 hours is not enough in a day. Time is flying. And before we know it, we are reaching our akhirah, our graves. How can I be productive with my time? By being organized, by looking at the righteous, how they use their time well. When you used to see the likes of Sheikh Muhammad Al-Banna Rahim, always got a book in the Quran in his hand, every time, always. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our time with that which is beneficial, by learning the deen of Allah. See, the more you learn, don't be lazy. The Prophet ﷺ would seek refuge from laziness. Allahumma inni a'udhubika min al-kasal wal-ajaz wa ghalibat ad-dayn wa ghalibat ar-rijal. He would seek refuge from laziness and ask for beneficial knowledge. Allahumma inni as'aluka min ilmin, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi' wa 'amalan mutaqabbilan wa rizqan tayyiban wa du'aan mustajaban. Prophet ﷺ would supplicate this in the morning for beneficial knowledge and actions that are accepted, and a good provision, a good risk, and a dua that is accepted. And the Prophet ﷺ would seek refuge from knowledge that is not beneficial. Allahumma inni a'udhubika min ilmin la yanfa' wa qalbin la yakhsha' wa nafsin la tashba' wa du'ain la yustajab aw la yusma' la yustajab. So asking Allah to bless your time. Allahumma barik lana fi awqatina ya rab. Allah, may ask Allah to bless us in our time. I feel as if my time is in the dunya is coming to an end. Subhanallah. Is there anything related in this to the deen? Wallahi, we all feel like that. We all feel our time is coming to an end. Inshallah, this is from Iman, to feel that time is running out and to feel that I need to do more because time is short. I have a friend I consider a companion, but I found she lies a lot. I've advised her fi sabilillah, but I fear for myself I'll pick up this attribute from her. Would I be correct to refrain from her friendship, and should I be patient with her? Sheikh Muhammad Al-Banna rahimullah, he says, be patient with the person until you see inad and kibr. If the person is arrogant and turns away from accepting the advice, they're the ones you turn away from, because you tried your best. وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَى الْبَلَاغِ. What is upon the messenger except to give the message? لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرِ. You have no authority over them. You can't force her to be truthful, but you advise her to show her the seriousness of lying. إِيَّاكُمُ الْكَذِبِ. Be warned of lying, because الْكَذِبْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ, because it leads to transgression and evil deeds. وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورِ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ, and that will lead you to the hellfire. So tell her some of the nusus. Al-mu'min la yakdhib. The believer, he never lies. He doesn't lie. Believer is truthful. He's talking to a brother, you wish to marry haram. This is a very general question. He's talking to a brother, you wish to marry haram. First and foremost, if that is going to lead to haram, then it's haram. But if you have an agreement in front of the maharim, like in front of the father, in front of your father or your brother, where you make some agreement as to the wedding and what is going to happen in the wedding and so on, and you can answer some questions to them. You both are, because this is a situation which may occur before you get married. Of course, there's going to be questions that you have to ask, and he has to ask. But this should be in front of your mahram, your wali, your guardian. But if it's you alone with him and he's alone with you, then the third one is shaitan. That will lead to haram. This question is asking about the jilbab. Is it fard rather than the abaya? Yani, if the abaya, Sheikh Abay talks against the abaya from the shoulders. He said the covering should be from the head. And there's two ways you can wear it. You can wear it as a covering from the head to the toes. And the other one is, I've seen, I think the Egyptian women wear it, yani from the head, there's two pieces.
Yeah, the Somali ones as well.
Somalians as well, they wear it like that. Yeah. I've seen the Egyptians, they wear it like that, they have two pieces. So as long as it is from the head, as from the shoulders, then Sheikh Obaid speaks about against that, saying that this is not the correct covering. The correct covering is, yani, that it is from the head.
So you don't show you show the shape of the head.
Because why? It doesn't show the shape
of the head. Yeah.
No, of the head. It doesn't show the shape of the shoulders. It doesn't show the shape, and it is more. It is a better covering, more of a sitter. إلى كم هذا يأخذنا إلى الفجر؟
خلاص خلاص هذا بارك الله فيك.
How can I build a relationship with my co-wife but her jealousy won't allow it? Like, jealousy is something which is common and it's something which is not easy, yani, especially in a marriage, co-wife relationship. But always be the better person. Be the first to start with the salam and give gifts to bring love between each other. It's not easy. The end of the day, you are trying to reach Jannah, you are all trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it means that the situation is very difficult, then give her her space. Give her her space until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens or yani makes her heart softened in order to accept your friendship and your relationship. But sometimes it's difficult for the women. It's difficult, so therefore na'am, it requires patience, it requires idfa bilati ahsan, it requires reminder, and reminder aids the believers. For dhikr, fa inna dhikra tanfa al mu'mineen. Na'am. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your co-wife and bless your family members. But one thing which will help is the husband himself to try to bring rectification, try to bring about good amongst both partners, yani both sides. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with al-Islam, has blessed us with the Sunnah. There isn't anything better for us in this life than this deen. There isn't anything better for us in this life than the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for the new sister, or for the one who's already been there in this blessed path for many years, take the best of the people as examples. The ulama, the prophets and messengers, they were firm and they were patient upon the truth for long periods of time. They were patient upon this blessed path. And remember, the Rasulullah said, إِنَّمَا الْعِبْرَ بِخَوَاتِيمِ. The end result is what is taken. You could be pious all your life, but towards the end of your life you slip. May Allah protect us. And you end up being from the people of the hellfire. O sister in Islam, save yourselves from the fire, even if it be a half a piece of date that you give in charity. O sister in Islam, look to the Akhirah as your goal. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. And this dunya, whatever you take from it the halal, and take from it the good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you with. O sister in Islam, go back to the Qur'an, and read the Qur'an and ponder over it. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. Then we will give them hayatan tayyiba, Allah says. We will give them hayatan tayyiba. We will give them a good life. Whoever does good, whether they're male or female. وَمَنْ عَمِلَ سَيِّئَةً مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ مَنْ عَمِلَ حَسَنَةً مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. They are the ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter into paradise, who do good deeds, whether they're male and female. We have to put in front of our eyes, what is Jannah going to be like, and what is the hellfire going to be like? Hellfire will be brought forward with 70,000 rains, and each of the rains will have 70,000 angels carrying it forward. وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمِ. And that hellfire will become apparent to our eyes. The hellfire is hotter than the life of this world, the fire in this world, by 70 times. The hellfire, from its names, is Al-Hawiyah, the blazing fire. From its names is Al-Sa'ir, that blazing pit, dark. And the hypocrites will be in the lowest of the hellfire. The hellfire will be eating each other. The flames will be eating at each other, will be burning each other. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا لَظَى نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى. It will be burning, that which enters it. The hellfire is called a consumer because it consumes whatever is in it. The hellfire is real. And we don't want to enter the hellfire. The Rasul ﷺ, he would seek refuge from the hellfire. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. And he would supplicate for Jannah 3 times. And he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how about us? So the matter is serious indeed. And paradise, happiness, rivers of honey and wine and milk that doesn't go off, laddatan lisharibin, great, a beautiful taste, or taste, a great taste for the ones who drink from it, the pool that the believers will drink from, the pool of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a month's journey, and also the utensils are the number, amount of stars in the sky. The one who drinks from that pool will never be thirsty ever again. In the Qiyamah, you will be going over the Sirat. Ma minkum wa ma minkum illa wariduha. There isn't any one of you except he has to go past that Sirat, sharper than the sword and finer than a hair. That Sirat which has hooks on it, placed over the hellfire. Nobody wants to enter that, ya Amatullah. These things are real. The scales will be weighing our actions. We'll be weighing our scrolls, and we'll be weighing us. Each and every one of us will be weighed. It may be that somebody who is large, but he will not weigh not even the wing of a mosquito, because he didn't have many good deeds. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when he was on a tree and the wind blew him, or when he was walking and the wind blew him, some of the Sahaba laughed. The Prophet ﷺ said, the shins, the weight of his shins, even though he has thin shins, the weight of those shins will be heavier than Uhud on the scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that comes with righteous deeds and good deeds. So this is a life which is going. This is Darul Mamar. And the Akhirah is Darul Qarar. The Akhirah is the life which is an abode forever. Sheikh Rabbi Hafidhullah says, imagine reclining in paradise for 1,000 years. Imagine. We can't even imagine. Because we live, 60, 70 years. We can't imagine 1,000 years. Imagine reclining for 1,000 years and then going to another place for another 1,000 years and another place for another 1,000 years. Forever, ya Abdullah. Forever paradise is. For what? For a few days' patience. Ya nafsu ma hiya illa sabru ayyam. كأنّ مدتها أدغاث أحلام يا نفس جوز يعني الدنيا مبادرة وخلي عنها فإن العيشة قدما. Leave this life, for this life is going and the real life is ahead of us, which is the Akhirah. This is what that should be in front of us. No doubt, don't forget your share in this life, but remember why you are here and your goal, why you are here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and make us righteous and make us from the people of paradise. آمين والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على خير خلق الله محمد وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله بالعالمين.